You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, you're listening to Day by Day Fleetwood Mac, Day 12, about their 12th studio album, a double album called Tusk. Came out in October of 79. $1.4 million to make, the equivalent of over $5 million in today's money, making it the most expensive album ever made, I think. So even though the album has sold multiple millions of copies, it was actually a failure insofar as they were following up Rumors, one of the biggest albums of all time. They did a 9-month tour to promote the album all over the world and recorded a live album on that tour. But what about this album? You know, going into this record, Lindsey Buckingham wanted to do something different. He didn't want to make Rumors 2. And, you know, he was becoming a driving force. He would produce this record. Lindsey has said, quote, "For me, being sort of the culprit behind that particular album, it was done in a way to undermine just sort of following the formula of doing Rumors 2 and Rumors 3, which is kind of the business model Warner Brothers would have liked us to follow." So, yeah, they were in the studio for 10 months to finish 20 songs. You know, if you look at the way they approach Rumors, they were capitalizing on the success of the self-titled album, and they went all in. With Tusk, they're kind of rejecting the whole concept, or at least Lindsey was, rejecting the whole concept of capitalizing on the monumental success of Rumors. I guess, in a way, that's a product of convenience. What I mean by that is, now they're rich. Rumors, they needed to, that was their opportunity to be set for life. I don't know if they were thinking of it that way, but now, after Rumors, they really were set for life. So there's not that kind of drive with the next album to necessarily make or break their career. They already had it. You know, they made it big, they had one of the biggest albums of all time. they're good. So there's none of that. I wouldn't call it desperation, but just none of that drive, not that same kind of drive. So there's that freedom. Lindsay, the success of Rumors afforded Lindsay the freedom to reject the idea of making Rumors too, because he didn't need to. So he could be more indulgent and creative and artsy. And also, you know, in between Rumors and Tusk, you have punk and new wave really taking off, and Lindsay's being influenced by that. And so that's a big part of it, I think, as well. But, you know, it would have been pretty funny. It would have been fun to watch the looks on the faces of the people from the record company when they started hearing, especially what Lindsay was coming up with in the studio. But yeah, as the story goes, Lindsay wanted the band to be more relevant now that punk and new wave were on the scene. And, you know, so there's definitely elements of that. He does some pretty weird stuff with this record. Also, journalist Adam Webb described the Tusk recording sessions as a cocaine blizzard. And, you know, Dennis Wilson was Christine McVie's boyfriend at the time. And, you know, Adam Webb said that Dennis Wilson, quote, never really came out of the cocaine blizzard. And we know what ends up happening to Dennis Wilson. So, you know, you've got fame, money, drugs. They already had that going in the Rumors. Now they have it turned up to 11. John McVie has said that Tusk sounds like the work of three solo artists, which is very true. You've got Rumors was much more cohesive. And even though you had three songwriters, it feels like a cohesive album. Tusk, you've got a lot of separation between Lindsay's songs, Stevie's songs, and Christine's songs. Some of Lindsay's songs go together with theirs, and Stevie and Christine are on a same kind of palette or level, but a lot of Lindsay's songs, you know, he's literally rejecting doing what people would expect, kind of almost intentionally not doing what people would expect. They do end up with two top 10 hit singles, but I think that's really, especially the idea that the title track was a hit, top 10 hit, and then Sarah. I think they're still riding Rumors, I think, with that. Rumors Never Happened. Is the song Tusk a top 10 hit? You know, you tell me. So yeah, the album, it says the album sold 4 million, but it's a double album, so that's really only 2 million. I mean, it really was a failure, complete failure in terms of capitalizing on the success of Rumors. It was a disaster, obviously from a business point of view, from the record label's point of view, this was a complete disaster, really. Insanely expensive to make a double album, which is indulgent and expensive, and then even though it's sold a couple million copies, it's a complete flop in the context of Rumors. So, but I love Tusk. So let's get into it. The album opens with a song from Christine McVie called Over and Over. This is a great Christine ballad, but a very odd choice to open the album. The second song on the album is a song from Lindsay called The Ledge. A very strange but fun song. But what a weird way to open this album. You've got a very basic, or not basic, but a very easy ballad from Christine. Not at all, you know, a lot of Lindsay's material for this is going to be in your face, So they open the album with the least in-your-face thing possible. Then, right after that, followed up with Lindsay being a nut job. So, you know, this song is the way it's produced. The songwriting's not abrasive. It's a catchy, poppy song, melodic, fun. But the way it's produced, the way it's recorded, is weird. So it's recorded differently. It's kind of a punky power pop song, but intentionally weird in the way it's presented. Third song on the album is another song from Christine called Think About Me. Another very straightforward song from Christine, consistent with her very identifiable style and sound. This is a really good song and brief at less than 3 minutes. Great chorus with very prominent backing vocals from Lindsay. I like this song quite a bit. One of my favorite songs from Christine, probably, for Fleetwood Mac. Fourth song on the album, a song from Lindsay called Save Me a Place. So this is a soft, pretty ballad from Lindsay, but it's made weird by, one, the way the percussion is recorded, and two, the extra long save and la on the chorus, the way he stretches those out. So even though it's more of a straightforward kind of acoustic song, it's made weird, kind of intentionally. The structure of the song itself, the written song, not as weird as it sounds. It's injected with weirdness. The Legit was the way it was produced, the way it was recorded. This song, it's the way the songs are, the words in the chorus are stretched out extra long, and then also the interesting approach to the production. So it's more about the choices. But I love this. Fifth song on the album, last song on the first side, song from Stevie Nicks called Sarah. This is Stevie at her most kind of uncomfortably personal and annoyingly mystical. So this was a single and a hit, but this is my least favorite Stevie song on the album. Also kind of too much of a soft rock vibe for me that I don't like. Lindsay is always Stevie's secret weapon. And in the past, he always helped, you know, to bring her songs to life and make them great. But I really hear very little of Lindsay's input on this. And it's over 6 minutes long. I don't like Sarah. Flip Flipping the first record over, side two opens with a song called What Makes You Think You're the One from Lindsey Buckingham. Great punchy track from Lindsey. Minimal guitar, so it feels stripped down, almost raw, but I like it a lot. A great vocal performance from Lindsey. I like the production quite a bit on this. This is a great song. I love this. Second song on side two, a song from Stevie called Storms. A really great, stark, depressing song from Stevie. Very effective in terms of the emotional response that this song elicits from the listener. Her soft vocal is perfect. Nice little guitar parts from Lindsey. I love this song, but it's also quite a downer. Third song on side two, a song from Lindsey called That's All for Everyone. This is my least favorite Lindsey song on the album. Really doesn't have much of a hook. It's not bad, but it's just kind of layered and repetitive and lacking in melody, really. It's all right, but it's not great. Fourth song on side two, an amazing power pop song from Lindsey Buckingham called Not That Funny. I love the mix on this, even the corny synthesizer. The drum sound is huge. I love the choppy guitars. Lindsey's vocal is great. This is an excellent song, but again, the way this song is recorded and mixed makes it less commercial sounding. Probably on purpose. Maybe it would have been a bigger hit if they had gave it a lush sound like Go Your Own Way. But they purposefully didn't. I personally love the way this sounds, but it's definitely less accessible to like Rumors fans, but produced differently, probably right up their alley. So it's the choices made in terms of the recording and the production and the instrumentation and the approach. Last song on side two, another dark ballad from Stevie called Sisters of the Moon. Gets a little heavy, but it's mystical and epic, and this is scary Stevie. probably Stevie as her witch character. This is a cool song. I like it.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Hey folks, Stefan Shirazi and Renee Richardson here from the Metallica Report.
And we are proud members of the Pantheon podcast family, where the best of music and podcasts unite.
We've got something pretty cool for you. We're giving away an exclusive Metallica merch package worth over $250.
That's a whole lot of scary guys, skulls, M72, and other sought-after Metallica swag. And we've made it easy for you to win. Follow and share the Metallica Report, and you're in the game. Go to pantheonpodcast.com/Metallica, enter your email, and hit that button to be entered to win.
And just like that, you're eligible for our monthly exclusive Metallica merch package.
And guess what, rockers? You can enter every month, so just do it. And while we love our global brothers and sisters, the lawyers won't let us ship outside the U.S.
All right, moving on to the second record in this double album, two record set, Tusk. Side three begins with a Stevie Nicks song called Angel, a very fun rock song from Stevie. This one actually has more of a Christine vibe. Lindsey with his guitar licks, John McVie killing it with the bouncy bass and his bass fills, and it's got a nice chorus. So this is a really quality song from Stevie Nicks with, you know, with help from some great musicians. You feel good. I said it's fun. Second song on side three is a song from Lindsey Buckingham called That's Enough for Me. One of my favorites from Lindsey. This song is a minute and 50 seconds long. It's rockabilly power pop. Just a blast of melody. I love the song. I love the way it's put together. So energetic and catchy. I just think this is awesome. I love this. But I also would understand that other people don't even notice this or whatever. But to me, this is great power pop. Third song on side three, a pretty boring ballad from Christine called Brown Eyes. Nice harmonies and things, but definitely one of my least favorite songs on this collection. Fourth song on side three, another ballad from Christine. 2 minutes long, called Never Make Me Cry. Brown Eyes should have been 2 minutes long. That was 4.5 minutes long. This song is okay. I think it would be way better if it was recorded just as a piano ballad, like the way that Songbird was. So overproduced, maybe.
As long as it takes, you never make me, you'll never make me, you'll never make me cry.
All right, last song on side three, my favorite song on this double album, infectious power pop from Lindsey Buckingham called I Know I'm Not Wrong. This is a personal favorite of mine of all songs. I just love this song. Now, there's a major issue for me, which is that when this album was reissued on CD, not the original issue on CD from whatever the 90s or whatever, but when this was reissued later, they used remixed or something version of this with extra vocal tracks that, in my opinion, ruin it. So I will only listen to this song, the original mix, on the vinyl or the very first issue of the CD. But beware. If you listen to this, it's probably on Spotify. If you listen to this on, you know, recent editions, they ruin the song. They add a bunch of shit that was not there originally. I don't know why, but there's all these extra vocal tracks that were not there. So you want to listen to this song. You want to listen to the original version of this song, which is on the vinyl and the very first CD that came out. But beware of the remix.
Thank you.
All right, flipping the record over, side four opens with a song from Christine McVie called Honey High. Kind of an annoying song, considering the vibe and the percussion. Probably my least favorite. I don't know, I might have already said that about one of Christine's other songs, but yeah, I don't like this. Second song on side four, another mellow, emotional ballad from Stevie called Beautiful Child. It's a beautiful song. Great melodies, great impact, great build to a coda. Excellent tune from Stevie. You've got these songs, Storms, Beautiful Child. They're very similar. They're all similar to each other, but they're all great. Third song on side four from Lindsey Buckingham called Walk a Thin Line. Amazing kind of ballad from Lindsey. Interesting double track drums. So again, even though it's very catchy and a potential hit, they add this element of weirdness. But it's a great song. I love it. Fourth song on side four, the title track, Tusk, from Lindsey Buckingham. Obviously a very weird song, built on top of an odd percussion track. A very ominous, threatening verse leads to a psychotic chorus. Then you add in a marching band to this very strange, minimalist song. So you've got a song that's like everything is right on the top, like a surface, like it feels like it's recorded on a four track, like a demo, like very minimal. And then you put in a marching band. So it's this track is insane. It's nuts. I would love to have seen this presented to the record company as this is the first single. I mean, it was chosen as the first single. I don't know whose call that was. I mean, it's become an iconic song. Everybody knows that the part the band, the marching band plays. I mean, it's iconic. Everybody knows it. But also, just, you know, listen to this. It's nuts. It's a crazy, weird song. It's definitely, you know, it's fun. I mean, what? This is self-destructive. You're following up rumors with this. It's self-destructive on purpose. It's so subversive. It's in-your-face creativity. It's a celebration of what you can do in a studio. You know, it's like this is a studio creation. It's cool. It's, it's neat, it's fun, it's interesting, it's inventive, it's creative, it's all of those things. But it's also fucking weird. All right, last song on the album, a song from Christine McVie called Never Forget. Very anticlimactic end to this album, a toss-off from Christine. Clearly, obviously, they should have ended the album with the song Tusk. So, like, flip the order here. Have Never Forget. If you have to have Never Forget here, I mean, this probably... Well, there's enough for this to be a double album, but there's a few songs from Christine especially that are, like... Nah. But, you know, flip it. Have this come after Walk a Thin Line, and then you gotta end the album with Tusk. How do you not end the album with Tusk? I don't, that's crazy to me. In the end, I personally love this album. The sequencing is questionable at times, as I've just been, you know, complaining about just before I started saying this sentence. But, you know, look what they're dealing with. It's like this impossible... eclectic collection. You've got Stevie's just like coming at you with all these ballads. Christine's are mostly ballads. Christine has a great rocker called Think About Me. Stevie has a great rocker called Angel. You've got all of Lindsay's just variety. And then you've got to put it all together. There's nothing cohesive about this album. You know, that would be an obvious criticism, is that it's schizophrenic. Like John McVie said, three solo albums, you know, shoved together. So that's a failure. If you're making an album, this band failed to work together to make an album. Mostly probably Lindsey Buckingham's doing. There's definitely criticisms to be made of Lindsey's approach here, but I love Lindsey's songs. Love Lynn, some of my favorite stuff ever. So, will they take that into account? Will they make a more cohesive band album to follow this up? Will they learn from their mistakes? I don't think they made mistakes. I think Lindsey rejected the idea. Obviously, Lindsey rejected the idea of following up Rumors with anything that was going to try to capitalize on the excessive Rumors. And as I pointed out before, he had that freedom. Because he was already set for life, basically. But let's find out what they're going to do next after this kind of massive on-purpose failure. I don't know, but we'll find out what they do next tomorrow when we talk about their next album, which will take a couple years to come out, called Mirage.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.